It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
The show is back. Nick Wilson, Jonathan Peterlin. We are Afternoon Drive. We've got, what's the new Nick? Magic Mac Robinson on the board.
Magic Mac.
Sends the sex. And we've also got Sweet Young Thang, Jax Gregory behind the glassy knoll there. We've got Big Weege. I just realized I've given everybody a nickname. Big Weege, Jake Volnick on the 20s. Hi, buddy. How you doing?
You don't have a nickname for me unless we go back to Penguin. I'm not sure.
JP.
Just JP. It works.
That's so simple.
So many people call me JP, and I've never really understood. I mean, I get it.
It's because your JP, name's Jonathan Peterlin.
I understood that side of thing. Why do some names lead themselves to that, though?
Because that's because they sound like...
I love it, by the way.
NW does not sound like good initials together.
It just
JG
rolls.
Does not sound like anything we can talk about on air. MR, I mean, these are not good initials to pair together. No. I don't like it.
No, it doesn't work. Yeah. But JP does. And so I like that. It's always very endearing. I think it's fun. I think it's nice. And I'm much happier that it's not the Big Cheese.
That's true. The Big Cheese, or I can't remember what else we had for Mac, but there were some.
By the way, I don't want a nickname either, by the way. Anything outside of JP. JP is perfect. I don't want you.
Please don't.
You have a lot of nickname potential with people.
Yeah.
But do they ever co-sign the nicknames?
Most don't. And that's how you know it's a good nickname.
Is that how you
like
know
our
it's
boy Will
nickname?
Pelagic? I used to call Willie Pander all the time, and it drove him crazy. That's how he knew it was a good nickname. Because if you self-apply a nickname, like I don't have anything right now. It's gonna be like I'm Derek. No, if you try and self-apply a nickname, you're the worst kind of person in the world, right? But
you can't give yourself a nickname.
No. I'm Mr. Fantastic. No, you're not. You're probably just the worst person in the world.
Probably.
So yeah, I'm a big believer in. Any nickname, Wild Turkey. I did not self-dub that in college. Everyone called me that because I drank.
Did you drink a lot of Wild Turkey?
I pretty much drank a bottle of Wild Turkey and then lost the ability to speak the English language. So, I'm Wild Turkey.
That's a fun college nickname.
Yeah, but it was not a fun night. I don't think anyone looks back on that night and said that was the best of your boy, Nicky Dubs.
Okay, then. Nicky Dubs. That's a self-appointed nickname. I thought we said those suck.
No, that's different for me.
Oh, the rules. The rules don't apply for you. I forgot about this. Okay.
Yes, thank you very much. By the way, we've got the latest in the Cleveland Browns. They're still not good. We got Hedgie back in the fold for the Gardos. I willed it. I made it happen. I'm sorry. Somebody needs to say this. I asked for the Cavs all-time start the season fast start record. And thanks in part to the Nick Wilson push, the Nicky Dubs push, as it's called, the Cavs got there last night with a 9-0 win over the just hated New Orleans Pelicans.
Are they that hated? Yeah, I was going to say, nobody hates them.
No, they're pretty
apathetic. We make fun of Zion. Zion was really good last night.
Yeah. He looks like this is as early in a season as he's been this skinny. Look out.
That was just mean.
That's fair.
That was
right?
Just mean.
Like, we usually get the first little bit of the season. It's like DeJuan Jones. The first four games, you're like, what happened to this guy?
And then
guy?
He starts doing the Doritos commercials, and then all of a sudden, it's like, see what happened
and
here.
And I think he got fat-shamed by Mariah Mills, and then all of a sudden, whoa, here's Zion. Here's a guy from Duke.
There was once an all-time Phelps rant about Zion, and he was just going on the idea that in the NBA with basketball players, we get to say when they're fat.
Yeah.
They're fat and they're athletes, and we get to judge athletes on their weight. And he just went off. I loved it.
I think it's 100%. Yes, 100%. Because that's the cardio sport. Like with an offensive lineman, there's an expectation of fat meets fitness. In the NBA, it's just fitness.
We definitely had fat Baker versus skinny Baker. When Baker sucked in year two, a lot of people thought that was just because he just gained a lot of weight.
He probably gained like 10 pounds.
It was a real thing. I remember. Yeah. Oh, no. I remember the discussions over fat Baker.
Oh, no. I know. And it was funny. I'm just simply saying he probably put on like 10 pounds and started acting like he was like needed Ozempic or something.
He started going to like all these MMA fights and everything like that. And then he just kind of put on a little bit of weight. And then people acted like he was where Zion is. And Zion owed over 300 pounds.
That's why you can't start skinny. See, I've started fat. I've set an expectation. And if I get skinnier, everyone's like, wow, Nick is looking really good these days. Whereas if you start skinny, you put on even 5 pounds of weight, everybody notices, and it's like, what is going on with JP? Is he okay? Is he healthy? What's the cholesterol situation?
No. The answer is I'm not healthy. No.
You haven't done it yet. You've looked really, really good the last probably 6 months to a year.
Well, that was very nice of you to say.
And I also realized that by putting 6 to 12 months on it.
We wonder what happened in the previous, beyond 12 months.
No, I didn't even think
about that.
Pandora's box.
I didn't even think about that. I was so excited for the in-the-moment compliment, we just kind of kept going.
All right, I'll take that. Now, the other big happening last night is it wasn't just that the Cleveland Cavaliers beat the Pelicans to have the first 9-0 start to franchise history. Apologies to Bingo Smith, Austin Carr, and all those fellas back from the mid-70s. But it was also another game where we kind of ended up talking about the free throw disparity between the two teams. Now, when that is the Los Angeles Lakers, we kind of get it. Well, Donovan Mitchell, after the win over the Pelicans, 131-122, kind of wasn't happy with the disparity in free throws. That was 13 attempts for the Cavaliers and 28 for the Pelicans.
Yeah. We're second in the league in drives per game, and we're not getting any foul calls. You know, I think I've been quiet about it for a long time. You know, tonight I almost lost my mind. Like, DG had no free throws tonight. I had six in the game. Like, for us to be able to drive and for to be the team that we are to get foul calls, I think it's crazy. Like, the refereeing has been so inconsistent, especially against us. Like, you know, I mean, I know we're 9-0, you know, but at the end of the day, man, like, at some point in time, we're driving to the basket. And guys, I'm just like, man, like, and it's not even just myself. It's as a collective. You know, Evan Mobley comes down on an alley-oop, almost rolls his ankle. There's no foul call. Like, Evan rolls his ankle, he's out. Like, you know what I'm saying? There's no consistency. But, yeah, we're playing against teams, and guys are going out there getting tic-tac fouls. Like, we play the Lakers, it's 33-8. Tonight, I don't even know when the first foul call was in the second half. So, for me, it's like, at some point, we need some consistency on our end. You know, I'm proud of the way we're fighting through, and I told my guys I was the one that was going to say something about it. Don't even complain. But it's getting out of hand. It's getting crazy. You know what I'm saying? I think that's something that really needs to tighten up because, I mean, I'm probably going to get fined for that, but it's outrageous.
Do you agree with Donovan that this is a common thing that's happening?
100%. And this goes back to last year, Nick. Donovan went off in the playoffs with the Orlando series talking about the fouls, and then they escaped out of the series, and so the conversation just kind of went away. But this is not the first time we've heard Donovan speak about this. He brings up the Lakers game with good reason. They were minus 25 in the Lakers game. Last night, you saw what you saw. Zion went to the free throw line more times or the same amount of times than the entire Cavs team did. And our buddy Chris Fedor, Cleveland.com, asked the Cavs like for some internal team data, which anytime you get internal team data, it's like, well, you can skew these numbers any way you want. So take it for whatever it's worth.
Mm-hmm.
But internally, the Cavs have the league's lowest percentage of fouls called on their drives, despite ranking second in drives per game. Like, they are going to the basket. They're going to the hoop, and they're not getting rewarded. I, for the first time last night, I watched a basketball game where I legitimately wondered what in the hell was going on. Cavs should have won that game by 30, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, are the refs making this close for a reason?
I think there is a general disparity that is accepted when you play the Lakers, the Celtics, the big market teams, or the super teams like the Warriors, right? You played the Pelicans last night.
Well, not even a minus 25 against the Lakers. I get what you're saying, yeah. But I sit back and I look at it, and this is just, I don't question the refs in any sport because I just feel like that's low hanging fruit.
Mm-hmm.
But it really kind of felt like someone had something out for the Cavs. I don't know why.
So I was looking at free throw attempts per game. So just that stat in and of itself.
Sure.
The Cavs are 26 in the NBA. Do you know the teams that are around them? Charlotte,
probably bad teams.
Charlotte, Detroit, San Antonio. And, Oklahoma City is 29th. But three of those teams will be tanking. Or three? Did I say one, two, three? Yeah, three of those teams are going to be in the lottery again, and they are messing it up for Flag.
Yeah.
Going after Cooper Flag.
Is that the term we're using, messing it up for Flag?
There's another word that goes for alliterative purposes, but I can't say that word on air.
Well, okay, then.
Yeah. But I'll tell you in the break there.
You don't have to. I think I got it.
Got it.
I think we got it.
Like it's so funny. I thought for a while, because this has been an ongoing thing with this team specifically, and there are two ways refs go if you're super, super loud about it, which is they either go, you know what, I'm going to start giving you more calls, the Draymond thing where you have more of a bandwidth.
Yeah.
Or, honestly, I just thought that J.B. Bickerstaff was a monster when it came to officials, and I thought at some point,
ooh,
I think officials were punishing J.B. because you haven't accomplished enough to complain like this, but now he's gone from the equation.
Yeah, but
and they don't complain.
Shouldn't Atkinson be the one that's out here yelling about these type of things? I love that Donovan's doing it. Donovan did it last year,
no,
too.
I think it's better when the players do it. And unfortunately, this is the NBA we live in. It's what makes the NBA a tough watch at times is – instead of getting back on defense, the best players in the NBA are often stopping to haggle with refs.
That's LeBron for how many years have we seen
that?
Well,
but it's not just LeBron. It's
no,
everyone.
I know, but I mean think of LeBron, you think about him complaining to a ref. Like there's
people like
that have wondered
player,
if
role player 3-and-D players.
You build a statue of LeBron and put it in the Basketball Hall of Fame, it would just be him like yelling at like pointing to the ref, like what happened? You missed the call.
It's just like Josh Green now, right? It's that caliber of it's everyone. And I'll be honest with you, maybe it needs to be the Cavs. I hate that's what the NBA is.
So Jared Allen is very soft-spoken. Jared Allen doesn't really, that man is not a foul merchant in any sort of respects, right? Evan Mobley, same type of thing. You knew I just wanted to say foul merchant.
That's all
that was.
Keep going.
But Evan Mobley, also in that same category of player as well. And then Darius didn't even get to the free throw line last night. I mean, you tell me if you think Darius has been the most vocal about not getting to the free throw line. Like Donovan has. Donovan's put his voice to it. I just wonder if the other players on the team, we just have a bunch of chill guys.
So that's the problem.
We just have a bunch of laissez-faire guys.
Like for so many reasons, the Cavs should be the team that gets the calls. They're a team that has had successive 40 plus win seasons and top four seeds, right? They're the fastest start in the NBA right now, the only remaining undefeated team in the NBA. They have multiple superstar, a superstar level player and a couple guys that are ascending players. Oh, and by the way, what gets more sympathy than any position in the NBA? Undersized point guards, undersized combo guards. Well, they got both, and neither of these guys, Darius Garland, takes more shots to the face than anybody else combined in the NBA. And he can't get a call. It's like at some point it feels wildly personal.
He didn't go to the free throw line once the entire game. How does that happen?
Maybe somebody needs to break an orbital bone again for them to get the message.
I mean, my goodness. I know he had the bubble guts at one point. He did the Lamar Jackson bubble guts thing where he's like, I got to get out of here.
He didn't do the Paul Pierce?
And then, no.
He had to be carried out?
That would have been great. No. He obviously was going through some things last night, and he talked about it, how he went through some things last night. But like, how do you not get any of these calls? And it consistently happens to this team. Maybe Atkinson, I know you said put it on the players. I just don't think you can change the players' DNA and who they are. Like, I just don't know that all of a sudden. I mean, Jared Allen seems like the nicest person on planet Earth. You think Jared Allen's going to yell at a ref?
Yeah, but I think the problem is I don't think coaches have the kind of swag and cachet with officials. When it comes to, at some point, I think you get tuned out. I think this is a player-led league. And again, I'm not advocating for this because I hate it. I think it makes the games really hard to watch. But I think if you're really this mad about it, man, I don't think this comment is going to do anything but get Donovan fined. And it sucks that that's the case. But the reality is, if you want it, all of you are going to have to sing for it because that's the way this weird, messed up league works. It just bums me out, man. Just really, it just absolutely sucks that crybabies get all the rewards.
Well, Donovan's laying the groundwork. Yeah, clearly, he's like trying to get out ahead of this, and because he realized last year in the postseason that was way too late to start complaining about this stuff.
216-474-0092 at Nick Wilson says, and of course on social media, Anik Wilson says, at Jay Peterlin, social media reactions on X powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Mike saying, it's not bleeping up for flag, it is capture the flag. I like that quite a
bit
there.
That's kind of fun.
We got Albert Breer coming up at 2:40. We got Quick Hits at 3:40. We got Pete Futek at 4 o'clock. We got you covered on everything here. We got some Browns talk to come, but we'll just working theory here. Why don't the Cavs get these calls? Because I don't know anyone can look at the actual stats. This is not hometown cook and gripe. Look at the actual stats, how often they drive to the hoop, how few of calls they get, and what is the working theory on this? And when we come back, sometimes second place might have to be good enough. This might be the case for the Cavaliers on 92.3 The Fan. Like Steph Curry, the second Steph got marginally good. Steph started getting, and appropriately so, superstar calls before he was a superstar. When he was like a really good player, I think we classify him as a star and not a superstar. So before the MVPs, he was getting superstar calls. And it's so weird. I think that's the tough thing for a lot of people to find out, is whatever methodology is applied to superstar calls, star calls, you get that call. Because remember, LeBron's the opposite side of this.
Right.
It was the Hackershack rule of, well, how are you going to stop him?
Well, in the moment LeBron made any sort of flinch or any sort of anything, then it was like, okay, all right, LeBron, you get that call. That's just how that works. What's going on with our guys? Why aren't they getting any of these calls? How does Darius go a whole game without getting a single call?
And here's the thing. It starts to make a lot of sense on why Darius has been punched in the face more than any player. Like, it is as if he has some sort of metal in his face that is like a magnet that draws things to his face. Like,
that'd be an unfortunate superpower.
It would not really make you a very good superhero. It'd actually make you the worst superhero. But it really does matter when he's broken an orbital socket and his jaw within the last 4 years.
Yeah, well, even I'm thinking about the play where he broke his jaw. And I mean, even on that play, you're like, he got hit. Yeah, he ran right into a hip is what happened there. He ran into somebody's hip because he puts his head down. He gets down low enough. And maybe these things just get missed. I'm not sure. Maybe they need to make it more obvious. I don't know. I just think they're timid. I think they're just a soft-spoken and timid group, and those type of players consistently don't get calls. Like, maybe Jared Allen has to turn into the guy that is constantly telling everyone, hey, I'm getting mauled down here. Someone pay attention. It's just not, we've never seen him play basketball that way.
So yesterday, you and I played the guessing game of what is the NBA's fast start record, and I pitted you against Kayla because I was being a D, and you were right, by the way. You were closer. I think she put it at 14 games. I think you put it at 17.
You put your finger on the scale, man. You were rigging that game so hard.
I did. It's just not, that's not the way you start a new show. And I can be better. I will be better.
It doesn't matter to me.
But while we talked about the Warriors 24-0 start, I thought it was so funny that as the Cavs broke the record last night for the franchise fast start at 9-0, Barstool this morning put out a tweet that said, at what point do we put the 9-0 Cavs, because they're the last unbeaten team in the NBA this year, on 74-8 best NBA record ever watch? And they're calling back to the 15-16 Warriors, and I was like, well, not today. That's like any mention.
I thought you'd be all about this. I'm sure that was our buddy Ohio State. I'm sure he's the Cleveland guy at Barstool. I'm sure that was him.
And I know it's a little tongue in cheek too. No, we're not. I don't want to. This is the enemy. I've said this a lot about expectations. It's the enemy of fun. The second that people start believing that this means something is the second that you will weaponize it. The second they have any sort of, and we're not, by the way, it's 9-0 versus 24-0.
No, but I know where you're going, and I don't love the inverse of this. I don't love the other direction. I don't love the I think a lot of people did this with the Guardians, where it's like, oh, they're off to a great start, but this isn't the team I just I kick my feet up and I enjoy and I just have a good time. It's just river ride.
Those 3 months were awful.
Yeah,
I mean, all that winning baseball and just enjoying beer and beautiful days in Cleveland. Oh, I hated it.
No, it was fun. But also, like, I do think at some point you do have to raise the expectations. And I do think at some point you can't just we can't only treat the Browns like a team that has to perform at all times.
Well, no, the sense of urgency is different with the Browns because there's 17 games.
That's how the sport is set up. I get that. But at some point, you do have to decide, I get to watch this team, and I do get to elevate and raise the standards. Yeah, but it's not right now.
No, we're in agreement then. As long as it's not right now for you, then I will not argue anything else. I don't know when the let's talk about the expectations thing, because I think the rebuttal is always going to be it's a regular season, and this is more about positioning for the playoffs than it is any sort of real thing that can prove to people that they're on the Celtics level.
Well, and this is the worry I had going into this season, Nick. And I think early on, I think it's been kind of pushed to the side, which is nice. I got worried that a lot of fans would treat this kind of like how Ravens fans treat their regular season, where it's like, it's nice, we can win a lot of games, and that's always a good time, but Lamar, I got to see you do it in the postseason. I got to see you be there when it matters the most. And I got a little worried that's how a lot of Cavs fans would take it. And you tell me, does it feel like that's the case right now?
Yeah, right now, of course.
Yeah.
You called it spot on. It is the Guardians thing, and it is the Ravens thing. And the difference is the Ravens with Lamar have had, was it now year 7 for him, year 6 for him,
yeah,
of knocking on that door? We're not there with this
two
team.
Two playoff wins.
You know, like, I know the Donovan trade jump-started expectations and all this other stuff. No, just sit back and specific to the actual league record for fast start, I will be pleased as punch if we play for second. I don't even expect them to get there. But the second place, so the first place is 24-0 to start the season.
Okay.
The 15-16 Warriors. The 15-0 is the 93-94 Houston Rockets, and I think the 48-49 Washington Capitals. 15-0.
The what year Capitals?
The 48-49.
When basketball was basketball, am I right, guys?
A lot of people are saying that George Mikan is the true GOAT and not LeBron or MJ.
Back when they used to dribble and actually look down to dribble the ball?
Yeah. Well, yeah, and you had the short shorts, but they weren't the cool short shorts. They were the,
Those have kind of come back now in style.
Yeah, but it's cooler now.
Have you seen the shorts Jax wears? I mean, that's basically 1948 basketball.
Everybody says he's Mini Mikan. That's what they call him.
And that's a good nickname.
Sweet young thing and Mini Mikan.
That's a good nickname.
But like, I think I'd be pleased as hell if they got to 16-0. I think that'd be such an insane accomplishment. And I know we don't play for second in sports. Like, I'm not saying hang a banner for it, but 16-0 is so insanely impressive in the NBA. I think that should be celebrated because there's
just doesn't do anything for me one way or another. I'm happy if they win 16 games in a row. That's great, but I'm not like chasing down the 48. What'd you say?
The 48-49.
The 48-49. What team? Washington.
Washington Capitals.
The Capitals.
Yeah.
I thought there was a hockey team.
Yeah.
I'm not. What does that matter to me? That doesn't matter to me at all.
Wait. So like, if somebody
gets to 16-0 as opposed to being 15-1 for sure. But like, what is it? We're playing for second?
Yeah. Yes, I believe that is. Yeah.
No, it doesn't do anything for me.
Why?
I just don't care.
16-0 is incredibly impressive.
In of itself, it's incredibly impressive.
If
yes.
you got to 20-0, that's
I
a quarter
feel
of the season.
Any different? You're gonna feel very different if they're 15-1 or if they're 16-0. I won't feel any different. 15-1 is just as impressive in my mind.
So, but they
as
started
16-0, just as impressive. We are in the same boat of impressiveness.
How?
Because I'm at a peak of impressive I didn't know I could get to at 15-1. 16-0, it doesn't. What do you want to do with this 16-0?
Go like, holy crap. Like, they've done something that all but one team in the NBA has ever done. And so because the bar is impossibly high with the Warriors, anything below that is just, okay, it's just a Tuesday in November.
It's just nice. It's a nice footnote.
Yeah, we're never. Hey, we would remember if you guys started 25-0. We would remember this.
Would you honestly remember? Would you remember 16-0 at like as opposed to 15-1 in game 75?
Do you think the Rockets fans forgot 15-0 from 1993-94?
Yes,
because
I'm sure they
the Warriors
did.
Surpassed it.
I'm sure they did. How many Rockets fans? I lived in Houston. I didn't hear a single person reference 15-0 to the 1993 season.
You probably just weren't talking to the right people.
I need to talk to better Rockets fans, I
think
guess.
I think maybe you needed to get a better circle of friends around
there. Fine. I'm happy with a great start, but I'm not going to celebrate it like they accomplished something great.
The Browns started 9-3. The Browns started 9-3 4 years ago, and you would have thought they won the Super Bowl. Which is funny what I heard on the station today, but that's for I think about 3 o'clock today.
And we'll get there. But
like, no, I mean, like, you see where I'm going? Like that, like, we do remember fast starts.
Yes, but 15-1 will be just as fast of a start that we remember in game 75 as 16-0 will be.
Well, no, because 15-0 would be tying for second place, and 16-0 would be referenced henceforth as second place.
Yeah, I just don't remember second place records, I guess.
I think that's
what that is. Well, for when you have to go back to something that...
So you don't remember how many home runs Roger Maris hit?
Did we even have color TV at that point? I think we're still black and white TV. When you're beating things that are still in the black and white TV era, I don't care as much.
It happened in 93-94 as well. Why are you focusing on the Washington Capitals?
That's what you said was second. You said second was the Washington Capitals from 1948-1949.
And the Rockets. They shared it at 15-0, yeah.
Still, that's a long time ago. We're now how many years? 30 years ago? All right, so give me to the high-def television. Give me the high-def television, can
so
we?
So Roger Maris, don't remember how many home runs he hit? What about McGuire and Sosa? We don't remember that? There's a little guy named Barry Bonds that's got a record there.
Barry's got 73. McGuire's got 70. Yeah, uh-huh. I remember it. I remember because McGuire was the top record for so many years.
216-474.
Hey, beat 24, and then I'll remember it, okay? How about that?
That's such a you thing to say, and I love it. The Cavs, fastest start in franchise history. Would you remember a 16-0 start?
You didn't even know the record existed 3 days ago. Now all of a sudden it's like some big, big record?
No, you didn't know.
Yeah.
I believe I was the one.
You've had that in your back pocket.
Price is righted. You, Albert Breer, next on 92.3 The Fan. Seat of our pants here. It's time for Quick Hits, JP. You ready?
I'm ready.
Take it away.
All right, we're going to start off with the game of the night. It's Ravens and the Bengals because it's the only game of the night. That's why it becomes the game of the night. But this is massive for the Bengals at this point. Joe Burrow, is the season on the line for Cincinnati with this game and this game alone?
I don't know, simply because I think anytime you got the old gunslinger out there doing things, like I think as long as Joe Burrow's healthy, even if you lose this game, you're going to have a chance. But I
played with that idea for way too long.
No, it's Joe, man. And here's the other thing going for him. The AFC, there's a lot of room to make this as a 9-win team. So I'll actually say no. How about you?
I feel like this is the one. I feel like if they drop to 4-6, if they can't beat the Ravens, I feel like this is the time that not only a lot of doubt starts to creep in, it's been there all year long, but I feel like as great of a season as Joe Burrow's having, and I think that's a very, like, we just don't talk about it enough because his team overall is just doo-doo, but Joe Burrow's played great this year, and they're not able to overcome it. I think it will tell us that they're never going to be able to overcome it, and this season will go down very similar to what last year was without Joe Burrow.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, we move on. I had my daughter's parent-teacher's conference earlier today. And the teacher started by asking if I had any questions, comments, or concerns about my daughters and their schooling. And I responded with a question indicating I clearly brought nothing to talk about. Am I a bad father for having no material going into my parent-teacher conference today?
I mean, it's not a stand-up bit. You're not doing a sports talk radio show where you have to have, like, bits and acts and things to talk about prepared. No. And I've never done one, so I'm way out of... pocket here. Like, I'm not within my own scope. So tell me if I'm wrong. I always looked at, like, a parent-teacher conference like, I come to you, you're the one with the material. You tell me if my kid's great, my kid's awful, my kid's anywhere in between. And then we just kind of go from there.
So they did a great job. They gave us some really good stuff there. But I think what the reason, so Ness usually does these because they're usually during the show.
Okay.
Like everywhere I've gone, it's like the show goes, hey, the fat ass is on air from 2 to 7 or 10 to 2. We're going to put it right in the smack because we don't want to see him.
Which is really nice. Do you low-key love that or do you hate that?
Hate it. Hate
really? Because you want the checkups.
Yeah, because I think teachers are awesome, and I always like to take a second to say thank you for teaching my kid.
Okay.
Because they sure as hell don't get paid enough actual money, so I can at least pay them a compliment. But two, it makes me feel kind of on the outside.
Do you give them a gift card, too, when you see them, or no? Like, what's
well,
the protocol
now
here?
I should have. Now I'm really, I didn't have material, I didn't prep for it.
Well, I mean, thank you very nice, Nick, but you know what's nicer? A $25 Starbucks gift card or something,
this
or Dunkin'
started,
Donuts, or one of those places.
This started with you building me up, and now I feel like you're kicking me down.
Well, you do this big, like, the teachers deserve the thank yous, and they do. They also deserve maybe a gift card somewhere, too. Hey, but don't worry. You got Christmas to go ahead and make it up.
So send this out. At Nick Wilson says, at Jay Peterlin, are you, like, prepped for your parent-teacher conferences? Am I on an island on this one? Am I just a bad dad?
Omaha!
All right, next up, Trevor Lawrence. We had a report earlier today that Trevor Lawrence was going to have surgery and was going to miss an extended amount of time. It has now been learned and found out that it's not going to be a long period of time. He is questionable for this weekend, though. But I want to ask you this, because we talked a lot about rookie quarterbacks and the impact on a team. If the Browns drafted someone that turned into what the first 4 years of Trevor Lawrence's career has been, is that a win or is that a loss?
Massive loss. But now, did they come with any of the hype that Trevor came with? So are we divorcing him from that?
I think we got to look at it like if you just drafted any quarterback in the top 10. Obviously, Trevor Lawrence is on a different stratosphere, right? Because he's the number one overall pick. He had as much hype as Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck, any of those type of guys have had. I think we got to look at it like if Cam Ward gets drafted to the Browns and he has the same career for 4 years that Trevor Lawrence has had, is that a win or is that a loss? You have your franchise quarterback. But how it's gone, go ahead.
It's a loss. You're going to win just enough games to get fired like Doug Peterson has. Like, the numbers are okay. Like, I mean, like if his name was anything but Trevor Lawrence, he wouldn't have gotten the second contract by now. And he probably would be on his way to another team after the end of the season.
Yeah,
his numbers are worse than Baker's.
Well, Baker had some really nice numbers.
Well, I mean, the first 4 years in Cleveland,
oh, okay.
They're worse.
I see what you're saying.
Like, it's not good.
Well, definitely from a win-loss perspective, for sure, right? I mean, he won 3 games the first year. That was the Urban Meyer year. That isn't great. And then he's basically been a 500 quarterback for the 2 years up until this one, where they're 2-7 now.
Do you agree, by the way?
Yeah, I don't want to call him a bust, but I know if the Browns were choosing that and that's the end result, I'm not pleased at how it went down.
I just can't explain enough how poorly the Jags screwed up by paying that guy a year early.
Omaha!
Austin Hedges is back with the Gardos. He spoke about that decision and he explained why he's sticking around. Here is Hedgy.
You know, obviously, like, I love being in Cleveland, but the thing that makes me love being in Cleveland is more is I feel the love from everybody else. The people in the organization, the fans, the city have so embraced me. And I feel like a Cleveland guy. Like, that's the best way I could put it. Like, it feels like home to me. I know I signed a 1-year contract, but as long as they want me, I don't plan on going anywhere.
All right, does this break the Getsis meter, or could he have gone harder in the paint on this?
I don't know how hard you could go in the paint on this one. I think this is about as much as he could do there. We are paying a lot of money, and we don't pay a lot of money to a lot of people. We're paying $4 million for a guy that's basically a second manager, right?
At $4 million in baseball isn't much, but to
the Guardians,
to the Guardians, yeah.
I almost want to be like Stephen Vogt. We pay you money to be the manager here. I love that Austin Hedges is a great locker room guy, great clubhouse guy. And in Texas, by the way, I mean, the final month that they made that run, every article out of Texas was like, Austin Hedges is the reason why.
He's a difference maker.
He's just a massive difference maker. And so I get why the Guardians would want him back. I'm not saying they shouldn't. But I also look at it and it's like, well, why can no one else in baseball get this, whatever Austin Hedges is doing? Why can no one else do this? And then why
he's got it all.
Why is he not just retiring and becoming a manager himself?
And that's because he's still making $4 million for the Guardians. Here's the thing. The Getsis meter should be respective to each player. So Austin has already broken the Getsis meter. So this does not quite rise to his previous gets us moments, like the shirtless picks in the clubhouse after, you know, going to the ALCS or going to the ALDS or, you know, winning 80 games or whatever. All the different celebrations comes in just under. It's good. It's good. We liked it, but we didn't love it.
Omaha!
Vic Fangio, now the DC in Philadelphia, as they take on the Cowboys this weekend, said, quote, "I don't think the Cowboys are going to change much with Cooper Rush at quarterback." That's a clear and direct shot at Dak Prescott. Think about, we mentioned Baker in this one. Name any quarterback that starts in the NFL and then put their backup in there and then see if the same kind of conversation can be applied right there. Vic Fangio.
I think we saw why Vic Fangio has been fired like 7 times as a coordinator and once as a head coach. I like Cooper Rush. I love Cooper Rush coming out in college. I was blown away when he went undrafted. He's carved out a nice career in the NFL. This Dak disrespect is just insane.
He was second in the league MVP voting last year. And I think, listen, I think he's more of like a, I think he's more closer to around fringe top 10 than he is top 5, like a lot of people tried to put him into. I don't think he is. He's not in the Burrow, Allen, Mahomes, Lamar category. Not anywhere close in my estimation.
So he's like 9th instead of 6th?
Yeah, but he's not. Well, he's not. The difference between him and Cooper Rush is still massive. Now, if you were the Cowboys, why aren't they going to give Trey Lance a look here?
Because they know.
Do they?
I think they do. Well, okay.
You think that's just them seeing practice games and being like, wait, this is never going to work? Because wouldn't this be the stretch that you need to try to see if you can have Trey Lance on your team for years to come?
Yeah, but it doesn't benefit you anymore because he's just going to go on free agency. So the we need to see what we have in this guy. Like, you've already signed Dak to a... If Dak was going into free agency, yeah, you'd be playing Trey Lance right now.
Omaha!
The Lakers are off to a 4-4 start. They've lost the last two. After last night's 17-point loss to the Grizzlies, head coach J.J. Redick praised LeBron James but called out everybody else in the purple and yellow there, which led to this follow-up and response in his press conference.
J.J., you're talking a lot about two or three guys, getting them to put in the effort. You talked a lot about wanting to play hard and LeBron being the guy that played hard in tonight's game. How do you address that with the team? What's your philosophy for approaching that?
I just did.
I hate that guy.
Listen,
he actually does the thing that I like. He's you know, communicating to the team through the media, but like, I just did. Like this is like Lethal Weapon 2 at the end when the bad South African goes, "Diplomatic immunity." And Danny Glover cracks his neck and goes, "It's just been revoked." But you're not Danny Glover.
Man, I wonder what would happen when adversity hit. That was the big thing, right? Everything's all fun and awesome when your podcast buddy and your wine friend is winning the first 3 games of the season. What happens when adversity hits? I think you just saw it right there. If he's melting down this quick into the season, Nick, he's never going to stand a chance.
It doesn't help that you started your calling your team out with bootlicking LeBron James. You're only playing into the fact.
Podcasting buddy, wine friend,
that,
come on.
That everybody thinks you only have the job because you had like a 3-month podcast with LeBron. Maybe be like the whole team. Because otherwise it just looks like more bootlicking.
You know what? No, forget that nonsense. LeBron's great. I'm here for him pointing out the obvious that LeBron's great. He could have gone hard and the AD's been great as well. And then everybody else just kind of stinks on this roster.
All right, final one here.
Omaha!
Mercifully, election season is over. And for some reason,
finally, we can talk politics.
Yeah,
thanks,
this
Nick.
Is what I've been doing here. Stephen A. Smith was on The View for some reason. With everything going on in this country, Stephen A. had a potential solution for this country going forward.
I have said this on many occasions. The answer would be hell no, because I like my life. I'm living a pretty good life. But I must confess, I wish I could debate some of these guys. I'd love to be on a debate stage going up against these guys. I'm half joking, but I kind of mean it. I mean, I have no desire to be a congressional figure or a senator. But if you came to me and you told me I had a legitimate shot to win the presidency of the United States of America, I would definitely consider it.
Oh, my gosh.
So I like that he starts, you know, just so we're all clear here, it's a no. But if you came to me and you just asked about just the presidency, I'd consider it. That is the most egotistical way.
I was thinking about all the words he called Kwame Brown like a decade ago, 15 years ago, and I was trying to see if I could just move him over into Stephen A. informed self right now.
I would love to see Stephen A. debate anybody, because it would just listen, this whole thing is going to hell in a handbasket anyways, just where politics is with celebrities getting in on it and all this other stuff. Why not Stephen A?
I think he'd be a great moderator.
Putin? How's Putin? Like, just losing his mind. But he just calls out Putin, goes after Kim Jong-un, like just on the national stage, just calling names and just saying stuff about him. That's what I want to hear. I don't have a good Stephen A, by the way. I apologize.
It's okay. You gotta work on it a little bit.
I don't think we're working on it.
No,
that is quick hits.
Unless he becomes president.
Albert Breer joins us next on 92.3 The Fan.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.